That'll be 2014. What are you smirking at? I wouldn't mind if you were laughing.
That's your brilliant idea.
All right, okay. Yeah, let's do songs and things. Oh, God. Okay, this is Paul Whittington, movie critic. Ha!
Hi, you're Dave.
Here. By the way, there's a thing there, as mentioned earlier, that Peter Hawick is writing about in your magazine, about, it's funny, isn't it? Like, all, like, movie stars aren't really doing the movie things anymore. It's the Godzillas and the big, huge thingy-bobs. And in fact, if it has a star, it almost gets in the way.
Yeah, you could say, certainly during the summer, you could say that, definitely, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
I see.
But this week, there's
he adds
no
a caveat.
This week there's no big budget stuff. There's more big budget stuff next week, but there are a couple of very good. Well, there's one really, really good film.
Yeah, what is this thing that everybody's got on about? Richard Linklater. Okay, we're looking at the big screen, by the way. What you can see this weekend, and by the way, if the weather stays like it is,
you'll need it.
outside my window, anyway. Go on, yeah.
I really like Richard Linklater. People will know him from Before Sunrise and Before Sunset and all those, that trilogy of films and various other good stuff he's done. This is the best thing he's ever done, and I think that's really saying something. Because Before Sunset was a brilliant film.
And this took 15, 20 years to make.
It took 12 years to make. Right. And he basically, it's the story of a little Texan boy's life from the age of about 6 or 7 to 17 or 18. And he used the same boy in the same cast, Ethan Hawke, who is a regular collaborator, yeah. And Patricia Arquette. And basically we first meet this little boy, Mason Jr., when he's about 6 years old. And he's played by Ellar Coltrane. And you just watch him grow. His family life is not brilliant. His mother is trying to raise him on her own. She's very busy. She's going through college. She's working. They move around Texas a lot. His father is a bit feckless. He went off to Alaska to find himself a couple of years after he was born, which is not very useful as a parent. That's Ethan Hawke. Then he comes back. In a Hollywood film, she'd be the hero, the heroine, and he'd be the useless crap dad. This film doesn't deal in sort of simplicities like that. When he comes back, he's actually quite a good father. And you watch the boy go through all these problems, and the film, it's very subtly done. You just shift along and you realise the boy's a bit bigger, they're a bit older. Patricia Arquette's weight goes up and down. It's an extraordinary film. It's 3 hours long, but it really, I know you are passionate about films that are too long, but
I love them.
It doesn't make any difference. It's an extraordinary film.
There's no element of documentary about this.
No, not at all. It's a drama. It's a proper drama. It feels like one. The parents struggle to get along at times. She has a series of difficult relationships. It gets quite dark at times. And you think that, in a similar situation, the boy could get into trouble. But you know that both the parents care about him so much. Yeah. That he stands a good chance of turning out okay.
So Richard Linklater, the great Richard Linklater,
exactly.
Has surpassed himself.
He really has.
Is your man's real name Coltrane, is it? That's right.
It is. Yes, it is. And it's great, isn't it? But there's nothing else to be said about it other than that. Linklater's daughter is in it. She plays the boy's older sister. It's a fantastic. It's the best film I've seen this year.
Yeah, a lot of people, for what I can make out. Boyhood is what it's called.
Yes.
Thumbs right up.
Absolutely.
As Ebert used to say. Now, give us another one. Anything else in the Irish cinemas?
Well, there's Begin Again, John Carney's film. People remember him from Once and other films. And
from this programme only a few weeks ago, and it was once called Can a Song Save Your Life?
It was it? Right, okay. Yeah. Well, I suppose that sums it up all right. A couple of critics have unkindly noted similarities between this and Once. There are buskers in it, there's a lot of music in it, but I think that's a bit unkind. It's more polished, it's more of a conventional romantic comedy, and it has a kind of slim plot, but he overcomes that by the way he tells it.
Yeah, he does. It's good.
You've seen it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keira Knightley plays this young woman called Greta, who's in New York with her musician boyfriend. He's a big star. When he takes off to LA and they break up, and she's at a loose end, and she's persuaded to sing a song in a club by her friend. And this down on his luck producer, who's played by Mark Ruffalo, comes in. He hears her, and he hears something. And that's the beginning of the film, is her singing the song, and then you go back to find out how he got there, how she got there. I think it's very nicely done. The music is fine without being intrusively good, if you know what I mean. And I think it works really nicely.
And Catherine Keener's in there, and Hayley Steinfeld's
there. Hayley Steinfeld, who people will remember from the Coen Brothers' True Grit, who's all grown up now, actually, and she's very good in it as well. I think it's a really nice little film, actually.
Yeah, she's also in a movie I saw recently with Kevin Costner, which is crap.
That was kind of
Two Days to Die or something, some stupid title.
Yeah.
Anyway, no, it's good. So Begin Again, thumbs up if people are looking for something.
Yeah.
You file it under, very good rom-com.
Oh, yes, good and solid, absolutely.
It is. Yeah. Begin Again, it is. Yeah. And John Carney from Dublin, who used to be in The Frames, is the man who made that movie. Now, next one.
Yeah, well, on slightly more esoteric side, you'll remember Dave, Peter Greenaway in the 1980s.
Oh my God, Drasland's Contract and all that.
All these films, yeah. And he was, I always found him a bit cold. These very art house films where he was always, he spent most of his time trying to reconstruct tableaus from paintings and things like that with real people.
Yeah.
And mixing all that up with sex and violence and death. Well, this is more of it.
But what's it called?
It's called, you want to hear me say it, it's called Goltzius and the Pelican Company, and set in the 16th century.
Goltzius and the Pelican, they're always set in the 16th century.
Well, a lot of them are
Goltzius
now.
Goltzius and the Pelican Company.
This is basically set in the Low Countries and Northern France, what's now Northern France, in the 16th century. And he's an engraver, right. This guy Goltzius, and he has a company of actors. And he needs money, basically, for his next project, for publishing a book. Printing a book. So he goes to this guy, the Margrave of Alsace, who's the military ruler of Alsace, and tries to do a deal with him whereby if he gives him the money to do the book, he'll put on these series of sexy tableaus from the Bible, basically. This film, I mean, sometimes it looks nice. There's a lot of flutes in it, Dave, to use a word we used to use a lot in this country.
Off the wall.
Lovers of Greenaway will probably like it. Lovers of, a period-themed pornography will definitely love it. It's strong stuff and it's kind of mad. Right. But it's not without its merits, and he's here tomorrow in the IFI to do a Q&A if people want to go along.
All right, so yeah. Peter, you're fabulous. Goltzius, in case you're listening, Goltzius and the Pelican Company.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thumbs up if you're
if you like
that.
Greenaway, it's a whole lot of Greenaway.
All right. Okay. Now on the small screen, as quick as you can, whatever.
Yeah. Well, the Book Thief is out, and that was grand. It was kind of ordinary, I thought.
But
I really like Grand Budapest Hotel. I can't remember whether you did or not. But
I like. In fact, I've only seen that recently, and I like it a lot.
I thought it was terrific.
Because I'm not necessarily as much of a fan of those guys or any of that kind of stuff as you might have been.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well,
Wes Anderson and all the rest of it.
It's Wes Anderson. It's inspired by the writings of Stefan Zweig, the Between the Wars.
It's got a look that is incredible.
It's beautiful looking. It's whimsical. It's very funny.
Very funny.
And Ralph Fiennes is brilliant.
He's hilarious.
Beautiful.
He's the main guy.
Yeah, yeah,
especially
yeah.
When he's at one stage, he's on the train talking to your man. He goes, his usual mellifluous language. He goes, ah, shag it, forget about it. It's just really
He should have won something for. He didn't, but he's really, really good on it. Really good.
Tell
on
us
it.
The story very quickly.
Basically, it's about this kind of hotel. It's this grand hotel in a kind of imaginary middle European country between the wars, and he's the concierge, and he's this effortlessly refined concierge who looks after all this. He's of an amorous disposition, and he likes the older woman.
He likes the older woman.
One of them dies and leaves him a lot of money, and they all go after him. And it's got a lot of elements of comedy in it. It's like Ernest Lubitsch films from the 30s and that, but it's a beautiful looking film.
Lovely film. Yeah, it's very good. Grand Budapest Hotel.
Really
thumbs
nice
up.
Film.
And The Book Thief. Yeah,
that's
it's not nearly as bad as people said it was, but I thought it was pretty good. And Jeffrey Rush is bizarre, and especially the way he talks.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, Paul.
Thank you,
Whittington,
Dave.
It is from the Indo and more. Thanks a million for talking. There's time to go. And